We read responsively Psalm 142. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into a level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The Gospel reading is from John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, Then how were your eyes opened? He answered, The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So for the second time they called the man who was blind and said to him, Give glory to God. We now know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, Whether he is a sinner I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple. But we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You are born in utter sin, and would you teach us? They cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believed, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, and those who do not see, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things, and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, Your guilt remains. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be considered righteous in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our loving Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today comes from our gospel reading we heard moments ago, especially the following words. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." So far the text. Today we have before us one of the longest scripture readings, gospel readings in the church year, in the lectionary. We have this section of Jesus healing the blind man from John chapter 9. There is so much in this reading and so much to the story of this young man who gets healed by Jesus that we're going to go through it, but we're not going to hit everything. We're not going to be able to preach the entire counsel of God in this one sermon. However, there are some things in it that I think are very important for us as we live our lives as people of God, as people of Christ. This man was born blind. He sat and he begged outside of a store, on the roadside, outside of a market, outside of an inn, outside of somewhere. There he was, every day, asking for alms, asking for help, not being able to do anything on his own, for he was blind. He had to be led by the hand to the place where he begged, led by the hand back home. He had to have his food cooked for him. He could sit at the table and eat, but much of the regular everyday care of this man fell to others. He was helpless. Many in that culture would have called him hopeless. And one day, as Jesus is walking by, he sees the man. Jesus would have passed by this place many, many times. He would have passed by this place a bunch, and he would have seen this man before. The disciples would have known this man. They would have known that as they were walking, this man was going to be right there. And so the disciples see him. They see the man sitting there begging. And they asked, "Jesus, this man, he's blind. Whose fault? Did he sin? Did he do something horrible? Or did his parents do something horrible?" And Jesus says, "No, we don't do that karma thing. That's not a Christian sentiment or thought. It's not that this man sinned or that his parents sinned, but his blindness. Even though blindness only occurs because of sin in the world, this man's blindness is being used so that the works of God might be displayed. Because right now, I'm here. Right now, it's daytime. Right now, there's work to do. There's coming night when it's going to be hard and no one can work. But right now, we got some work to do." So he walks over, he spits on the ground and makes some mud. And then he takes the mud and he puts it on the man's eyes. And he tells him, "Go wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which was a pool in Jerusalem at that time that was thought of to have healing powers. Go wash. And the man goes and he washes, and as the dirt goes away, so does his blindness. And he comes back seeing. And his neighbors were so confused that this looked like the guy that was blind, but he can see. Some were saying, yeah, it's him. Others say, no, it's just like somebody looks like it. It's a doppelganger or something. But it looks like him. And he kept saying, it's me. I'm that guy. And he said, how are your eyes open? And he tells him the story of Jesus spitting and making mud and putting it on his eyes and tell him to go wash. And he washed and he came back and he had his sight. He doesn't know where Jesus went or what Jesus is doing. All he knows is that he can see. Jesus had done this, and it was a Sabbath when you're not supposed to work, and that includes healing. So the Pharisees were rather upset with Jesus, and they wanted to find out how this man was healed, and so they brought the man in, and the man told them exactly what happened. What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes, they say? Well, he's a prophet. The Jews didn't believe. Actually, they started even casting dispersions at the man. This guy wasn't really blind. He was faking. We don't even know if he was blind from birth or not. They called in his parents. And his parents said, why are you asking us? He's 18, ask him. He'll tell you the story. Such loving parents. Throwing their kid under the bus. Because see, the Jews had done something else. They said, anybody that confesses Jesus to be the Christ, it's going to be put out of the synagogue. And anybody that would heal blindness would have to be the Christ. You see, healing the blind, giving sight to the blind, was one of the things that the prophet Isaiah, 500, 800 years before Jesus, had said would be the mark of the Messiah. The lame would walk. The deaf would hear. The blind would see, and good news would be preached to the poor. And so his parents, afraid of being put out of the synagogue, because that's not just like, hey, you know, I don't like my church. I'm going to go find another church. I'm going to go find a pastor that tells me what I want to hear. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. No. There was just the synagogue, and the synagogue was the center of Jewish culture and Jewish society. If you were kicked out of the synagogue, you were kicked out of society. Your friends would disown you. Your family would disown you. This was not a good place to be. If you were kicked out of the synagogue, you were on your own. You were like the nations. You were like those other people. And out of fear for that, out of fear of the social system that they had built for themselves, out of a lifetime of creating relationships and finding their place within the synagogue, his parents didn't want anything of that. So they ask him. So they say, bring him in. He'll tell you. He'll tell you what's going on. So they bring him in again. And they ask him, how do you do this? How did this happen? Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And the once blind man answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And they said, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And the man was getting a little perturbed at all of this. He said, why? I told you already. I told you exactly what would happen. You're not listening to me. Do you want to hear it again so you can become his disciples? And that really made him mad. And they throw every dispersion at him, call him every single name in the book. And then the man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin. You would teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. Notice, this man's parents threw him under the bus so they would not get cast out of the synagogue. And here, instead, their son does. He's out on his own. He has nowhere to go. Everyone disowned him. except for Jesus. Jesus, who looked and saw a blind man blind not because of his own sin, but because of the brokenness of the world. That Jesus heard that he had been kicked out of the synagogue, that he was once again on his own. And he went and he found him. He asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshiped him. Jesus' entire life and ministry was about seeking and saving the lost. Leaving the 99 sheep and going and finding the one that was lost. Forgetting about the 10 coins that he knew where they were and going and finding the one that was stuck under the couch cushion. Jesus' entire life and ministry, his death and resurrection, Jesus' entire reign as King of the universe at the right hand of the throne of God has been about seeking and saving the lost. The will of God is this, that everyone be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus goes out. He finds the lost man. He heals the blind and gives him sight so he can see. And not see just anything, but see Jesus. See the author and perfecter of faith. Lord, I believe. My brother and sister in Christ, you were once blind in sin and death, but through baptism, Jesus went and he found you. He found you in whatever stage, whatever place in life. He made you who were blind to see, and to see Jesus. Today, to this day, he comes again. Through the speakers of your computer, or your stereo, or whatever you're listening to this on. And he's reminding you that he has never let you go. That though you may not know what you see, though you may be blinded by worry and anxiety, though you may be clouded by everything going on in the world, in your life, in your family, whatever it may be, Jesus comes and he reminds you that you have sight to see him. To see him active in your life through his word and his sacrament, through the promises made to you in your baptism, to see him active and alive in your life through your sphere of influence, through the relationships that you have within and without the body of Christ. This Jesus comes to you and says, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And we're left with only three simple words. Lord, I believe. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard and protect your hearts and minds in the one true faith in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Cherubim and seraphim, come to your name.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness and give thanks for all your benefits and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you give sight to the blind, you open the ears of the deaf, and you make the lame to walk. Hear the prayers on behalf of your people and behalf of all people as they have need. In the darkness of sin and its death, we cry to you, O Lord. Open our ears by your word, our minds by your spirit, and our hearts by your grace, that we may know and be thankful for all the blessings you have given to us in Christ our Lord, especially the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Strengthen us in faith, that we may serve you with all our body, mind, and soul, and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bidden by your word, we pray to you, O Lord, on behalf of your church and all your people in every place. Give to us good pastors and servants of your word who will preach the full counsel of your word and serve us with your sacraments. Raise up many more to serve as church workers and bless those who are now preparing for full-time church work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Defended by your grace, we ask, O Lord, to provide us with good and faithful leaders who will honor the cause of justice in our land, preserve the precious gift of liberty, and protect the lives of those least able to defend themselves. Bless the members of our armed forces and protect them as they defend us, and grant your blessing to all emergency workers who come to our aid in times of need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Knowing your healing will and gifts, we pray you, O Lord, to remember the sick in their afflictions, to calm those troubled in mind, and to keep steadfast the dying. Be with all those who are hospitalized or in need of your care, especially those that we name in our hearts at this time. Show us your gracious will, O Lord, and sustain those who are afflicted in body or mind until that day when you will bestow upon us new bodies fit for the eternal life you have prepared for us in Christ Jesus. We also ask that you be faithfully with those who suffer any impact from the coronavirus. We pray that you bring them to health and that you rid the world of this affliction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.